We have a great God, and God is doing great things. Amen. He is strengthening and building us in everything that's going on around us. How many of you know that? I mean, whether it might not look good to you, it might not feel good, but I'm going to tell you something. It is God. Brother Mark was talking about, and it's been on my mind a lot, but Brother Mark was talking last Wednesday about how in the biosphere, they're having problems that the trees were growing. They're getting so big, and the branches were breaking off of these trees. And so they called some arborists, I guess, to go in and look at the trees. And they asked, and they told them, hey, they're in a controlled environment, and they're breaking. So what's going on? And what they told them, the problem is your trees need wind. Because it's the wind that causes stress on the tree, that causes the tree to brace itself and get strong. And so, folks, and it just reminds me that's, you know, folks, we need some, you know, it doesn't feel good, but God, listen, we need those things that come against us so that we can get strong. You know that. It's cool, man. God does that. Who let the devil into the garden anyway? Is that right? Who left the gate open? I think God did, amen? Because Adam needed to know what God had given him, the authority to stand against those things. And he, you know, so God allowed that to happen, amen? So guess what? Things not feeling well to you? I mean, sometimes it feels hard. Know this, that God is working in your life. And that's the time to call upon God. Say, God, could you use some help here today? God, would you help me? And you watch how God will strengthen you, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He's a good Father. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not sure what the title message this morning, and so I'll figure it out one of these days. Okay? How's that sound? Come on, Pastor. What's wrong with you? I said, you know, it's God wants us strong in the kingdom mindset. How many of you know that? God wants us to know what he's given us and what he's told us is all true. And he wants us strong in that thing. So it's we're going to look at that today. How are you guys saying, all right? Are you guys, amen? Hallelujah. Being strong in your mind, allowing your mind to become strong in the kingdom of God. How's that sound? Is that all right? Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Hallelujah. And before we do that, I want to just if you would put up Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. But go to Acts. The other scripture will be up on the board. But go to Acts chapter 9. And then we're going to put up this scripture here. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13 says this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven. How many know? Praise God. Amen. Come on. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. You can say it with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That word amen seals that in your heart. It means so be it. Amen? Come on. So your Father, my Father, I like the part where it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah. How many of you want to please your Father this morning? And that, you know, that's what I'm going to talk about, pleasing God. How can we please God? You'll please him by believing him. You will please him by accepting what he's saying to you. Amen? You'll please him by obedience. How many like that? Everybody say, oh, there's that obedience word again. No, man. We have to take my dog. My dog is kind of wild. She kind of likes to run around. She could use some obedience training. It doesn't sound good, does it? But folks, you know, God loves it when we listen to him. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Word of God. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Very familiar story. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, which way? Jesus' followers, amen? Christians. If he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, come on. Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said to him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, I like that. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, and has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came here for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priests? But Saul increased more and more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Amen. Praise God. How many like this story? It's a beautiful story how God intervenes on a what God calls a chosen vessel. Is that right? How God, by his power, knocked him off his donkey. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know that God sometimes needs to knock us off our donkey once in a while? Is that right? Hallelujah. Sometimes when you get hit hard, you can say, Lord, you just knocked me off my donkey. Lord, man, God, Lord, what is it? What do you want? Amen? Hallelujah. And because God had a plan for Saul. How many say amen to that? God knew what he was doing when he picked Saul. Is that right? Even when Saul was standing witnessing when they stoned Stephen. How many of you know that God had a plan for him? God had already set in motion the things that Saul was going to have happen to him, and this was one of those things. The people that were stoning Stephen were laying their coats at Saul's feet so he could watch over them while they stoned Stephen. Crazy, huh? Part of that group. Thing about Saul was he was a high member of that group. How many of you know that? The Bible says that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was an instructed man. He was a Harvard or Yale or whatever. No, but in his time he was instructed very much and very well in the things of God. In the things of the Jews' religion, in the things of the Old Testament, in the law. Amen. He was instructed in the law. And God says, he's mine. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Those of you that have been called out of darkness to stand in his marvelous light, guess what? God says, he's mine. He's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. Hallelujah. That one over there is mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has an intent for each and every one of us. How many of you know that? Is that okay? Hallelujah. And he had that intent for Saul. Knocked him off his horse. Struck with blindness. Amen. Hearing God's voice. Hallelujah. I hope that I don't have to go through that for him just to speak something to me. Amen. But Saul was very, very much in the Jews' religion. He was so deep within, and God knew it. And God saw that he was exactly what he needed. Do you know that God was probably prepping him the whole time? God was teaching him the law. God was allowing him to understand the things of the law. Because he was going to become a witness to you and me, to the Gentiles. Amen? And to the Jews. Amen? Oh, man. God knows what he's doing. Amen? Praise God. So he sends him down to a city in Damascus, sends him down there, and they take him into a room, and they drop him off, and he's in there by himself, and he's praying. And God goes to a man named Ananias. Ananias is praying, and the Bible says that he saw a vision. How many of you guys like visions? I mean, God wants to give us visions, folks, and visions are still for today. Amen? I mean, let me just say, I want you to, when I say visions are still for today, I'm just out of your spirit say, yeah, they are, because they really are. God wants to give you vision. He wants to show you where you're going. He wants to give you a purpose and a plan, something people say hang your hat on, but something to keep you moving in that direction. Does that make sense? God wants to keep you moving forward and not allow you to stop and slough off on the side and take five. God wants us moving forward toward what he's got for us. Amen? Hallelujah. So here Ananias is praying, and he sees a vision, and God begins to speak to him. And he says, I want you to go to a street called Straight in Damascus. Okay. And I want you to pray for a man there. Okay. His name is Saul of Tarsus. I don't know, God. Well, wait a minute, God. I've heard things about this guy. How many of you have heard things about people sometimes, and you would say, nah, I don't think so. Amen? Not that guy. Anybody but that guy. Amen? And here he says, oh, Lord, I don't know. But I love what the Lord tells him. The Lord says this to him. He says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me. You hear what God calls Saul? Calls him a chosen vessel. When did he become a chosen vessel? Come on now. Come on, man. From the minute he hit the earth, God had him prepared a ministry for this man to be a chosen vessel in the earth. Hallelujah. That would be speaking to you and me to today. Amen. Praise God. God had that prepared and placed for Saul. He says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That means I will show him what great things he's going to go through for my name. How many know that Saul of Tarsus, which became Paul, went through some heavy stuff? Do you know he was stoned and died? Do you know that? He's gone. But God said, I'm not done with you. Shakes him off, sets him back down, and let's go. Amen. Sounds kind of weird, don't it? It looks kind of weird. Shake him off and put him back on the line. Praise God. Because God got purpose and plan for each and every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. God is moving us, if you will, towards that. That's why I said, I don't want to get into that. I better not go into that. I want you to look at, let's put up 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. I want you to know this. Look at this. So furthermore, we then beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Do you know that it pleased God when Ananias said yes? Do you know that? Do you know that it pleased him when he said, I don't want to go, Lord, but you know what? For you, I'll do it. I'll do it, God. Hallelujah. I'll go see this guy that's been hauling Christians in and killing them. I'll go see him, and I'll go lay my hands on him, and I'll pray for him, and hopefully he doesn't see me, because he was blind, right? No, he didn't. No, he said, I'll go. I'm gone. And he goes in there and he prays for him. And I believe God was pleased with that. God was pleased. Doesn't say much about Ananias the rest of his life, but know that God has plans. Whatever Ananias did after that, I know that it was because he saw a miracle. How many know that? When he laid his hands on Paul and spoke to him and told him God wanted to give him the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the scales fell off his eyes. And then hearing later on, months later, Paul's over here. Paul's over there. Paul's over here. Paul's going to Rome. Paul's going to Corinth. Paul's going to all these places. I'm sure Ananias said, yeah, I have part of this ministry. Amen? Because he had gotten in there and he'd prayed. Like we say, he had stepped into his life. Amen? Come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pleasing the Father. Hallelujah. How many want to please God? Six hands in the room. I want to please God. I'm just telling you, I want to please God. God, I want to do what you want me to do. Hallelujah. And I feel that this thing here, that what's going on is what God has me to do. And God, I'm going to do it with all my heart, with everything that I have within me, as much as I can. I don't know how to change. I don't know how to do things. But God, I'm going to do it as hard as I can. I'm going to run as hard as I can. Because I want to please you, God. I want to please my Father. It is my will to please my Father. Hallelujah. I almost got stuck, fall down. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this scripture again. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk. We're going to talk about today is some things that how we ought to walk. Is that okay? Every time you go to church, you learn a little bit about more how you ought to walk. Amen? Hallelujah. Hopefully, you're taking mental notes, whatever notes you're taking, but you are walking a little different than what you did last year or even last week. You're walking a little bit different. We've been speaking things to you about how you ought to walk. On Wednesday nights, we've been having some great meetings instructing how you ought to walk. Yesterday in the men's meeting, we had three guys got up and spoke great things instructing how we ought to walk. Let's walk. Let's walk to please God. Amen? Not to please our... Hey, I don't walk this way to please my wife, even though I need to please my wife. I walk this way to please the Lord that called me into this. Amen? How we ought to walk to please God. Hallelujah. Let's put up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Listen, how many please God? You want to please God, it's with faith. You're going to please him by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? Hallelujah. Diligently. He is a rewarder of them that diligently. Let me just ask you a little bit. Have you been seeking him diligently lately? Have you been going to the throne and say, God, I'm here. I'm here, Lord. I'm here to seek you. I'm here to find out from you. What do you have for me, Lord? Give me some running orders. Amen. Hallelujah. God, show me what you want me to do. God, help me to see your ways and not my ways. How many know the word of God says that his ways are higher than our ways? His thoughts are higher than our ways. But it's funny because God says he has given us the mind of Christ, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Do you know that he's given you his ways? He's given you his thoughts? Do you know that? Or does it just seem out there to you? God doesn't want it out there. He wants it in here. He wants you to know that he has given you these things, that these things are freely and readily. I'm going to say that again, that they are freely but readily available to you. They're ready right now for you. Hallelujah, if you'll step into them. Amen? If you will diligently seek him, if you will go after God. Let's talk about Enoch and go to verse 5. Hallelujah. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see what? Did Enoch die? He was what? The Bible says he was translated. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Are you interested in pleasing God? Can you see what pleasing God can do for you? Can you see that? Do you have that? Can you say, you know what? He pleased God. I'm going to say something. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't know Moses. He pleased God. What do you think? How do you think he pleased God? He believed them. He believed what God was saying. Let me just ask you one of those theological questions. Jesus hadn't died yet. Is that correct? How did he get into heaven? Come on. See, that's exactly the same way you do. You believe what God says. I believe, I know that God showed him the cross. And when he saw the cross, he believed God. And God says, hey man, get closer. Get closer. We were talking yesterday about getting close to God. You know that pleases God when you get close. How many of you like when your grandson or your granddaughter or your son or your daughter? Here, I'm grandpa, so I'm talking grandson. Okay, how many of you like it when they grab a hold of you and they squeeze your neck? Isn't that crazy? I love it, man. I love that. Them little arms around there just squeezing on you. Going, I love that. I love it. And I believe that God loves that. When you're in his presence and you're talking to him and you're pulling up close to him, he loves it. And he's telling Enoch, come on, man. Come on over here. How does it say that he got there? By faith. He got there by faith. And God pulled him up and he says, you know what? You're with me now. Enoch's going, yeah, I'm with you, man. Come on, man. And he made it into the kingdom of God. And he got there. How? By listening and obeying and believing God. Hallelujah. He pleased his father. He pleased him. Hallelujah. When Jesus came on the earth, he had something. There's something about when God begins to speak words that we need to take a hold of those words. Amen? We need to listen to what's being said and say, oh God, yeah, I'll take that. How many of you like reading your Bible? Some of you dads do. I heard the little kids say that. I heard one of the kids say, hey, he likes to read his Bible. Amen. Come on, man. When Jesus came on the earth, there was something that he began to do. He began to proclaim the kingdom of God. How many know that? The word of God says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, that he says, the kingdom is at hand. In Mark chapter 1:15, he says, the kingdom is at hand. In Luke chapter 21, verse 31, he says, the kingdom is at hand. Hallelujah. In Acts 28, verse 31, he says this. What? The kingdom is at hand. Hallelujah. You know who said, you know where it was at in Acts 21, 38? That was actually Paul's ministry. That's the last verse in the book of Acts, and it says, Paul went everywhere and preached the kingdom. Everywhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there's something about the kingdom that we need to take a hold of and continue to grab a hold of. There is a mindset, if you will, of the kingdom. Do you know that? There is a mindset in the kingdom that is different than in the world, the way the world thinks today. Is that okay? Is that all right? Is it okay to say that? When Jesus came on the earth, he was demonstrating the kingdom of God on the earth. How many of you know that? Is that, that's all, he was demonstrating what was on, what was on his Father's heart from the beginning. That's what Jesus was demonstrating. He was demonstrating the kingdom of God here on the earth. Hallelujah. So what I want to do is I want to just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to look at that just for a minute. Can we just change? We do not war. Let's just say we don't fight. Is that okay? How many like fighting? Nobody likes to fight. Hallelujah. Do you know that we're designed to fight? We are designed to fight in a different way. There is a kingdom way of fighting. Is that right? That's what we're talking about here, a kingdom way of fighting. The way we fight is we take hold of the Word of God and we hold on to it. Hallelujah. The Word of God will carry you. Is that right? The Word of God is good for you. So, we are not carnal. It says, we are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but to the mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I just want to talk to you just a little bit about it. I just want to talk to you about every thought. You see what the Word of God says, what we're doing? He says we're to be casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations come from? From your mind. Is that right? Those imaginations come from your mind. And the Bible says that there's some good, there's good thoughts and there are some bad thoughts. Is that right? There's some things you should be thinking about and there's some things that you shouldn't be thinking about. God wants us to begin to focus on the things that we should be thinking about. One of the things that we should be thinking about today is the kingdom of God. The Bible says to set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. You know, the people have said before, I've heard it said before, they're so kingdom, or they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you this, it's not that way. You better be kingdom minded. Because this earth, you can see where it's going. Amen? Can you see what's going on in this earth? Is it speaking to you? Because as a Christian, it really should be speaking to you. There should be some things coming. What you're seeing and hearing with your eyes, seeing with your eyes, hearing with your ears in the world today should be, because you're a Christian, should be speaking to you very loud and very clear. There is a kingdom that is coming into the earth, and God is setting his kingdom in the earth, and we need to be listening for that kingdom. Amen? We need to hear the words of the kingdom. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you know that those thoughts that might be emanating from your mind, coming into your heart, if they're not from God, do you know this? Do you know this? If those thoughts are emanating from your heart, coming up in your face, and listen, and you're thinking them, and you're entertaining them, is that right? How many know? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And you're awful quiet, but that's okay because I understand. We entertain things we shouldn't be entertaining. We look at things we shouldn't be looking at. Hallelujah. You know what? Maybe it'd be better to be like Saul, where there's scales on our eyes we can't see. Is that right? Because, folks, we are in a kingdom that is God is placing in the earth. And we need to be very aware of it. So when you hear something that's contrary to the kingdom of God, take a hold of it, cast it down, throw it off. Say, man, that's not God. Get out of here. Hallelujah. Don't even, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. One thing I do not like doing is talking about the, what? Devil. It's the only time I want to say that in here, okay? Because we'll bring his name into the church and say, well, this guy does that. And I'm going to tell you something. Stop talking about him. Stop talking about him. He's defeated. He's got no power in your life. So quit giving him power. You know what? He wants you to exalt him by saying his name. Did you know that? He wants you to give him, even if it's bad glory. Well, the devil's been... Oh, sorry, said it again. Well, he has been fighting me and fighting me. Hey, you know what? So what? Listen, God is speaking to us. He says, it is time to set your affection on things above and on things of the earth, because I am placing a kingdom in the earth that has never been seen before. Hallelujah. And my microphone is falling off. Sorry. Praise God. I knew I'd get excited and start coming off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's my scripture. Ooh. Hallelujah. Stop it. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God. Folks, listen. Listen. It pleases our Father when we speak about the kingdom. It pleases our Father when we talk to people about the kingdom. It pleases our Father when we resist speaking about others and choose to speak about the kingdom. When we look at somebody maybe we don't like, speak something about the kingdom. You know what? That's a man of God. That's a woman of God. If they only, you know what? If they only knew Jesus. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Folks, we're in the world and we're called to love the world. We are called to love the world. Let me just say this. The world doesn't know any better. If they did know any better, if they knew Jesus, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Is that right? We can't blame them. They don't know. Who can we blame? Oh, come on, man. Oh, man, we don't like this. We can blame us. Because we are called to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God in the earth. God's bringing this kingdom in, folks. And what pleases him when we pray that prayer, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, you know what? God, why did Jesus tell us to pray that way? Because it's something that is going to happen. It's going to happen. He's going to bring this kingdom so it can be seen in the earth. And it will give testimony to all those around. Hallelujah. Testimony of the kingdom. Huh? Praise God. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. I want you to look at these scriptures. Hallelujah. God wants us to speak about the kingdom. He wants us to hear with our ears. For to this end also I did... I'm sorry. That should be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. Sorry, guys. Slip of the pencil when I leave them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. And if you would, bring these scriptures up one at a time, okay? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Is that right? Let's just say we're talking about the kingdom here. God has given us a lot of things. How many know that? God has prepared a lot of things for us. But I just want to talk about the kingdom and the kingdom-mindedness. How to be kingdom-mindedness in a world that is going crazy, all right? As it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Notice the word prepared. God has already prepared. It's like somebody has prepared you a dinner. Is that right? God has got something prepared for you to give you. Okay, next verse. But God has revealed them to us by what? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. I want you to notice the capital letter on the Spirit. You see that capital letter? That is a divine spirit. That's his name. His name is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many spirits is a man supposed to have within him today as a Christian? One. Anybody else? Dos. Come on, man. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to have two. I'm going to show you why. We need two we need two spirits within us, okay? We're going to go, uh-oh. I'm leaving. Going somewhere else, man. I'm not coming back to this church. I never heard anybody say that we're supposed to have two spirits. The Word of God teaches us that. Hallelujah. Know this. When God made Adam, he said he made him out of the dirt. He formed his body. The Bible says he breathed a breath into that body. That breath is that capital letter. It's the Spirit of God that he breathed into him. And the Bible says that he became a living soul. By that breath, it generated the soul. Okay, cool, huh? Very cool. So every one of us, we've all got the same equipment. Is that okay? We are all spirit, soul, and body. Listen to that. Spirit, soul, and body. So now, just with that little statement, how many spirits are we supposed to have within us? Two. Right? As a Christian, we get two. So we'll go on a little bit. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man? Look at here it says, save, that word is except, the spirit of man which is in him. Do you get that? Do you see that? See, we know the things about ourselves just by the spirit of us that we have within us. Do you know that unregenerated mankind, their soul and their spirit are so close together, they can't tell the difference of them. Do you know that? How many know that? They can't tell the difference between their soul and their spirit. But what the Holy Spirit comes, the Word of God says that the Word of God is powerful, quicker than a two-edged sword, dividing even asunder, and then it says, soul and spirit. The Word of God comes to you to make that distinction between your soul and your spirit. That's what the Word of God says. It says that man has a spirit. Is that right? Do you know that in Proverbs, he said, if I was to remove all the spirits, no man would live. We all have a spirit. We're all designed that way. God has built us that way so that we can hear his spirit. How many know God is a spirit? Is that right? Praise God. God is a spirit. Do you know that you can't see him? How many can see God? Yeah. But you can't see God in like physical. I mean, it's a dimension that God. You know, when we look at the Word of God, we can see God there. Is that right? We can see and understand it. But as far as a physical dimension like this coat is in, can you see God? No. He is a spirit. He's invisible. The invisible things of God are clearly seen. That's what we just got through saying. Right? You can see God, but they are invisible. Can't really see them. So it says right here, for what man knows the things of a man except that the spirit of man which is in him. And then he says, even so the things of God knoweth what? No man, but by the Spirit of God. Folks, listen, you have to invite God into your life to know the things of God. Is that correct? Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, you what? Must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Is that what he said? You must be. Not, you can get around it if you don't. You can't. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And Nicodemus has the same thoughts that we might have thought. What? Can a man go back into his mom's belly and be born again? What are you saying to me? Jesus said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that separates the thinking of man. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The spiritual side of you, it's your conscience, your intuition. Does anybody have intuition in the house? Most of the time, ladies are more powerful than men in this thing. Do you know that? My wife was telling me before I even started, she goes, we need to pastor a church. I don't think so. She was saying things to me before I even got a hold of it. They call it women's intuition. Because she's hearing something that I wasn't hearing. The Spirit was speaking to her something that I might, maybe he was saying it to me, but I wasn't, you know, not me, man. The other thing that the Spirit comes into you is for communion. Not the communion where we take a little piece of bread and we remember the Lord's sacrifice. He comes into our life for a communion that's different than that. It's speaking face to face with God. It is going into that Holy of Holies and saying, Lord, I need to hear you. I need to speak to you. Communion with God. That's your spiritual side. Your soul side. Mind, will, and emotions. Notice that your mind is in your soul side. Your mind is in your soul side, the way you think. How many of you know that the way you think is different than the way your heart thinks? Is that right? Your spirit thinks different. And in the kingdom, it's the spiritual side that begins to teach the physical side. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit comes upon you and speaks God's word to you. It might not even seem sensible to you. You might say, but nobody does that. Nobody does this, God. But yet he's speaking to you in your spirit. And when your spirit begins to take a hold of it, it begins to train your soul, begins to speak to your soul. And your soul grabs a hold of it and says, man, okay, because you're born again. Things of God are foreign to us unless the Holy Spirit has come into us. Amen. Amen? Amen? Listen to this. Hallelujah. He says this, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Next verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to you. Is that what I've been saying? We have received the Spirit of God. So how many spirits are you supposed to have in you? Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is kingdom thinking. It really is. You've got to have your spirit, which is able to receive the things that the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Otherwise, it's not going to work very well. There are men all over the world that have read this book, and they're Thessalonians, theologians, and all. Sorry, I get my words mixed up. Theologians, and they still don't get it. The Word of God says it this way. They're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is the Holy Spirit comes in to teach you and train you and lead you and guide you, period. Anything else that's doing that is going to receive glory for it, and God says, I won't have it. God says, only I will give, you will give no glory to none other but Him. So all your teaching, all your understanding, you can hold it up before God and say, well, God, I was a theologian at Paul's seminary in Jerusalem. I don't know, whatever you want to tell God. He's going to say, did you listen to my spirit? Did you hear what my spirit was saying? The spirit of my dear son I sent to you to listen to for you to listen to. Are you listening? Amen. Folks, we're talking about spiritual quickness in your mind. Because the Word of God teaches that He says, hey, you know what? Paul says it this way. Of all the people to grab a hold of, why did God pick Paul? Why Paul? Paul was deep into the law. He was deep in there. Why Paul? Because Paul would be able to explain the law when God's Spirit entered into him. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. And it is that same Spirit that's dwelling in you. Listen to Him. He's good for you. He really is. Hallelujah. If you haven't asked the Holy Spirit to come in your life, ask Him, because you need Him. Amen. Because the kingdom in the God is setting up this kingdom. And we need to be kingdom-minded and alert to the things that God is saying to us. Where the things that are really just kind of useless to us, who cares if it's ranch or vinaigrette? Who cares? God might be saying, touch that guy over there. Go speak to him. Hallelujah. We need to be kingdom-minded, allowing the Spirit to speak whenever He wants to speak. His ways are, listen, His ways now, because of what God has done, His ways are our ways. His thoughts now are our thoughts. Do you know that? Do you understand that? You say, "Whoa, I don't know about that, Hank." Well, let me see. Let's go to the next verse. He says, "Now we have I'm going to read that one. I'm sorry, guys. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God." And the next verse says this, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches." That's the brain. That's the natural man and the brain. Not in the words that the man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen? Amen? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Come here, man. Come here, son. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day, son. Stand right here. Come here, son. Happy Father's Day to you, too. Come here. Get up here. Stand right here next to this guy here. Yeah. Hallelujah. Compare. One's taller. Hair's about the same. Both got a little hair on the chin. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Listen, how do you compare anything? Guys, you can sit down. Thanks. Sorry. How do you compare anything? How do you compare anything? Can you compare one thing with anything? It takes two to compare. Is that right? That's why God says, "I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to speak to your spirit." That's why you need two. That's what He says here. "Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You can't compare just one thing with anything. Is that right? Huh. Well, I can compare an orange with an apple, but does that work? What do you have to do? Apples for apples, oranges for oranges. Is that right? You got to compare likeness. Folks, this is why God says, "Who are you going to compare me to?" Why? Why does He say that? There's only one God. There's only one God. And He says, "Who you can compare me to?" There's none to compare me to. And God says, "I want to show you how to compare things." And that comparing goes when the Holy Spirit tells you something, then you can look at it and say, "Okay, I don't know if that's right, God, because I've never been taught that." How many of you, the Holy Spirit's ever said something to you, you've never been taught that, and He said something to you, and you say, "I don't know about that." Come on. So He likes that when you say, "Okay, if that's real, Lord, show it to me again." Because the Bible says by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. A lot of people won't do that. They won't ask for another. They'll just say, "That can't be right. Nobody teaches that anymore. Nobody teaches that at all." Hallelujah. So then when I tell you that when Enoch was translated so that he didn't die, which the Holy Spirit might be saying to me, "You don't have to die." I said, "Lord, that's kind of weird. That's, Lord, everybody dies." And He says, "Do they really? Did you know that they could not kill my son?" "Well, yeah, Lord." "Why couldn't they kill my son?" Jesus said, "I lay down my life." Why couldn't they kill him? Because he had not sinned. Sin is what kills man. How many know that? The Word of God says this. He says, I'm capturing you here, man. You're going to get stuck with this one. The wages of sin is death. Right? Is that what the Word of God says? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? Hallelujah. So then why do you die? Because God says, "I have taken your sins and cast them out. Gotten rid of them. They are no longer with you." What is that all about? Because the kingdom mindset, friends, the mindset of the kingdom. Can I tell you there is no death in heaven? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Come on, man. Hallelujah. Saying some weird stuff to you this morning, aren't I? Come on, that's okay. Never heard it before, that's okay. Don't believe me. I love getting myself off the hook. Just so I don't believe me. Find out for yourself. take the Word of God and see what it says. Because you're going to find out that God has a lot to say about what's going on with man. God had an intent from the beginning of the world for mankind. Man kind of messed it up, plunged us into sin. And then God had to send His Son to redeem us back into that same plan, that same thought. Hallelujah. So let's do it. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You got to have two. Next verse. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to them. Why? The natural man, because he's not born again. You got to be born again to see the things of the kingdom. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned, spiritually understood, spiritually judged, is what the Word of God is saying. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit and your spirit looking at them. Not just one, but two in your life looking at the things of God. Next verse says this. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Now, that's kind of weird, isn't it? The Word of God tells us, thou shalt don't judge. But God has given us a way to look at judgment. Okay? He says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Hallelujah. What's that all about? Do you know that what God tells you and what God speaks to you, nobody else's business? Is that right? Nobody else's business. This is why one of those things we should be not be judging one another, because it's not our business. Now, when God speaks something to us, like myself as a pastor, if God says something to me about one of those, I mean, all of a sudden, what's happening is spiritual discernment is happening, and God is giving information about what needs to be taking place. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay, next verse. He that is spiritual judges no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct you? And I want you to look at this very carefully, because I'm talking about kingdom mindset. The way you should be thinking. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And the Word of God says right here very clearly. I don't know if that's clear to you. It says that we have what? The mind of Christ. Do you know that you have been equipped with something that is far greater than you even imagine? I'm going to say this to you right now. You're better than you think you are. Is that all right? That's all right, man. Look at everybody. Look at your friend and neighbor next to you. Say, hey, you're better than you think you are. Do you know what? Because God has given you by His Spirit His mind. The mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So that no one can tear you down or take you down. Because you know that God is for you and He's not against you. That He is your Redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is going to be probably one of the last verses. If you just look at it, can you see why Paul might have been saying this? Because Paul, we'll go back to that. Paul, this won't be the last verse, I'm sorry. It says right here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul is begging. He said, look, there are great things in this kingdom. Great things. Allow your mind to fix yourself upon the things of the kingdom. And you're going to find out that those things will carry you. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Amen? Don't think like the world. Quit thinking like the world. So if he's telling you to quit thinking like the world, what's he doing to you? He's directing you. He's saying, I'm going to direct you. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. God wants us to be kingdom-minded, because the kingdom is on the earth. Do you know that Jesus said this? Hey, when they say that they're over there, don't go over there. When they say, hey, the kingdom's over there, don't go over there. He said, because the kingdom is where? It's within you. It's already been placed. It's in the earth today. Listen, it's in the earth today, and it's inside of you. God is saying, look, I will be speaking to you. I will be explaining things to you. Set your affection on my kingdom and hear the words that I speak, and you will prosper in this day. I'm saying this then. You will prosper because God is ready. He's ready to explode your life, to show who He is in you. He's ready to place glorious things within you. It's cool, man. It's really cool what He's got coming. I just want to take you right back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And what I want to do, guys, I just want to do the first verse and verse 23, I think was verse 22. Acts chapter 9, the first verse says this, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest," and I'll read verse 2, "and desired letters to go to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found anybody in this way, they, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." And then verse 22, after being knocked off of his horse, he got interrupted in his travel, and he says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Do you see the mind change? Do you see how radically it happened to Paul? Paul began to think on the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we have his writings. And those writings are kingdom writings and speaking to us as God's children to receive the things that God has given to us. Because you have the mind of Christ. You go, what? Are you kidding me? You have the mind of Christ. That's why it's so important that you cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because you have the kingdom, the mind of Christ. Amen. Stand up. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your children, that God, you are bringing these things, Father God, into a reality that we have never seen before. I thank you, Father God, that you are opening the floodgates of the kingdom. You are opening those things to your children, Lord, because it's time. It's time. Father, I just speak these things in the name of Jesus. I speak to your people. Receive the word of God. Receive the things of the kingdom. Receive the thoughts of God. Your thoughts are our thoughts. Your ways are our ways, Father. So, Lord, expose them in our lives. Father, you have said to us that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Expose those things in our lives, Father God. Let us see them, Father. For great joy comes when those things are exposed in our life, God. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. Lord, that as they go out, Father God, they would step into the lives of those around them. They would pour living waters, God, into those around them. Because your mind lives in them. Your spirit dwells in them, and they have the mind of Christ. And just as Jesus spoke to those around him, they have that ability to speak power into folks' lives. They have that ability, hallelujah, to quench every debate. They have that ability to speak truth. I thank you for it. I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.